doubting if I've found the right message. So sometimes you get in service and things start falling together, and this confirmation here and there, and just what's happened tonight. And my message tonight is, I've titled it Speed Bump or Roadblock. And we're all on a journey in our Christian walk. We're walking with the Lord, and I've heard that term somewhere before. I can't remember where it was, speed bump or roadblock. But are we going to let the enemy defeat us, or are we going to continue on no matter what? And that's my determination tonight, whatever it takes to get to the finish line with the Lord. That song Sarah picked out and said, Jesus is all I need. And as long as we got the Lord on our side, and we're on his side, and we're going along with him, he's going to help us, and we're going to make it. And we can read the back of the book and see how it all ends, and we know we are victorious as long as we stay faithful to the Lord. And I'm going to start reading Luke 9:22. And it says here, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised again the third day. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And I'm thankful for our Lord. These are his words, red lettered, and he spoke them to us. You know, it's for all generations, but us as well tonight. But let's just all look to the Lord as we begin here in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Jesus, for your guidance, Lord, your help, your strength, Lord. God, your encouragement, Lord, we just thank you, God, for all your love, God, and all the provisions you make for each and every one of us, Lord. We know, Lord, we can make it home, but through your help, Lord, and we can bring many with us, Lord, not just ourselves. We praise you, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So it's stating here that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised daily, be raised the third day. I'm looking at two different scriptures at once here. But anyway, we know what the main purpose of Jesus was, to come and redeem us. And he did it by going to the cross and that vicarious death, dying in the place of another. And we weren't worthy, but he loved us so much that the Father allowed him to come and die in our place. And he was slain, indeed raised the third day, as he said. He was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He'll never die again. And we also have eternal life as long as we continue with the Lord and we accept him as our Savior. And the pastor, one of the scriptures read, those that do the commandments of God shall abide forever. And I look forward to that day, you know, when we cross over to the other side. We have no more battles with the enemy, but right now we are fighting many battles, and he's tried to attack many of us from different angles. It doesn't matter what he brings, we are victorious through Jesus, because we can overcome him. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And we have a cross to take up, just like Jesus did. Ours aren't a wooden cross like he was slain on, but it's a taking up his work and continuing it here as he sent us out. And we have a job to do here. He sent each one of us to do different things for him. And as long as we're faithful and continue on with him and don't give up, we don't quit, and we got to endure to the end, but he will have a reward for us on the other side. It says, what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? I don't care about the riches of this world and the things of this world. You know, they're going to pass away. It's just temporary, and, you know, it's nothing compared to what the Lord's offering us. You know, the devil, he tried to tempt Jesus. He said, if you'll bow down and serve me, I'll give all this to you. You know, he showed him the glory of all the world, and the Lord told him, get thee hence. It is written, I shall serve the Lord God, and him only shall I serve. And we also must have that same attitude. We got to continue on and reach for Jesus, keep pressing forward. And the story Jason shared this morning in Sunday school about Brother Lloyd's dad. He said he went to a area that was kind of rough. It was a drug area and a lot of sin and things going on in that area, and he was trying to witness and win others to the Lord, and he ran into some opposition, and they tried to scare him off, but they didn't run him off, did they? Praise the Lord. The Lord was with him and helped him. But, you know, no matter what the enemy brings our way, and he will bring things our way, but, you know, we don't really have to worry. We don't have to fear, because the Lord is greater, and he's going to help us through it. He said he'll not leave us nor forsake us. And it says, whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and in his holy angels. And I do believe with all my heart he's coming back soon. And those angels, that trumpet's going to sound and he's going to split the sky. It may be in our lifetime. You know, I'm pretty confident that it will happen in our lifetime. All the things that need to be accomplished have been accomplished, fulfilled in the Word, and it could happen at any moment. He says, I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son, see the kingdom of God. And we could be in heaven tomorrow. We don't know. You know, we might cross over into glory. And some of us may go at different times. You know, we may go to the grave first. And like my dad, he recently passed away a couple years back, and it seems like it's just yesterday. I can just picture him tonight running on those streets of gold. Hallelujah. No, I seen him sitting in a recliner, not able to do much. He had oxygen mask on, and you know, his last few years was really challenged by bad health, and he never got discouraged, never quit, and he was witnessing for the Lord just before he went home. And I'd just like to see what he's up to tonight. Praise the Lord. Luke 14 and 26. It's just one more reason to go to heaven for, to see my dad again and a lot of other loved ones. But Luke 14:26 says, if any man come unto me and hate not his father or mother or wife or children or brethren or sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciples. Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. And talks about counting the cost there. And he's not really meaning that we should hate our loved ones, but it's compared to him. We got to put him far above everyone else. And it says, Luke 14:33 says, so likewise, whosoever he be that doeth not forsake all that he hath, he cannot be my disciples. So we got to count the cost. We got to be willing to pay all. And that rich young ruler, he came to the Lord and he told him what he expected of him, and he went away sad. He was not willing to commit totally. And it's sad that someone would hang on to something temporary like that and lose out with eternity. Praise the Lord. And Matthew 13 and 20, this parable of the sower, and it says, verse 20, but he that receiveth the seed in the stony places, same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. And so there is going to come offense our way when we are working for the Lord. And we've heard the prayer request tonight for the missionaries, what Sister Norman is facing and Brother Lloyd, and the newsletter I just got yesterday at my house for the Lloyds, and talked about there's only 10% employment there in Haiti, 90% unemployment. And said the inflation was just hyperinflation, and, you know, it's just you couldn't hardly buy anything with what you used to be able to buy the same amount of money. But it's just, and he said all the gangs, you know, more or less running rampant there, and a lot of violence and things. So very dangerous times. But yet it said in the letter, it said some would ask if they were fixing to come back, going to give up. And they said, no, you know, we're going to stay true to our commitment to the Lord and his calling. And that touched my heart. You know, they had their children kidnapped a few years back, and through the prayers of all the churches they had praying back here, they got the children back, and the Lord helped them. And, you know, they asked then, are they going to give up and going to come back? No, we're going to stay true to the Lord. So they done counted the cost. They're going to go all the way with the Lord, whatever it cost may be. In Luke 4 and 28, says, all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. It's talking about Jesus. He had spoke to them and angered them. They were fixing to throw him off a cliff, try to do him in. They didn't want any more of him and his words, you know, just like these drug people in that neighborhood. They didn't want Brother Lloyd's dad there. And, you know, we get on the devil's toes. He's not just going to sit and take it. You know, he's going to kind of rear up a little bit and snort and fight a little bit. But we know he's the defeated enemy. He's going to lose. But we thank the Lord that he is with us, and we will overcome. In Luke 5 and 17, it says, and it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst of before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And so they didn't even realize who Jesus was, these religious men. They thought Jesus was being blasphemous. Here they're going to throw him off a cliff. They're accusing him of blasphemy here. And next scripture I'm going to read here. Sorry, I got lost my place here. Luke 6:22 says, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, they shall separate you from the company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. So when we are cast out, our name is put down, and it's talked evil about, and you know we are reproached for the name of Christ. We are cast out of the company, separated from them. It's time to rejoice, and you know if they've got those feelings, I'm not sure I want to be in their company. You know, unless I'm trying to reach them for the Lord, I wouldn't want to fellowship with them if they don't love the Lord like I do. In Luke 8 and 40. It says, and it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And it skips on down, verse 49, it talks about the little lady with the issue of blood there for 12 years in between there. But it says, 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue's house, and saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. And when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out of the, took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightly. And he commanded to give her meat. So here they are laughing him to scorn. They said they knew that the young girl was dead. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, if we get laughed at for the sake of the Lord, it doesn't matter. You know, as long as we're doing his will, you know, he's going to have the last laugh in the end. As you see here, this young lady rose again after he prayed for her. And other occasions, he stopped the funeral procession and prayed for the dead, and they rose and got up and lived again. And we see Lazarus coming out of the tomb. You know, there's nothing Jesus can't do. Anything is possible to our Lord, and we'll only believe. In Luke 9 and 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face towards to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And he returned and rebuked them and said, He turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man has come to not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And we can skip on down to verse 10 of the next chapter. It says, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way and out into the street of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the day of Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. So anyone that rejects Christ, they turn him away. It says, just wipe the feet off you, the dust off your feet, and go on. You know, his disciples were wanting to destroy them. But, you know, he's going to be rejected at times, just like we will when we come and present the gospel to others. Not everyone receives it. Some will reject it. And the next scripture I have, Brother Gary always already hit it. It says Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your soul. And, you know, we got to be patient when we're working for the Lord. You know, there's times we get discouraged, we feel like giving up, but we got to keep pressing on. And there's no quitting place until we cross to the other side. We can't give up, can't quit. And we read in the New Testament where Demas forsook Paul, and he went back to the world. And we don't want to be like that. And we see Judas, you know, he betrayed the Lord and he lost out. But we don't want to be a quitter. We don't want to lose our eternal inheritance with the Lord. He's got so much for us, and if we'll just continue on with him. Hebrews 6 and 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your works and labor of love, which ye have shown towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." So it's going to take some diligence, it's going to take some faith and patience to inherit the promise. We've got to keep pressing on until we cross that finish line. Excuse me. Hebrews 3:14. It says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. What is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." And I've read the scripture in many messages, but it speaks to my heart. We don't want to lose out in doubt and unbelief and lose out with the Lord. You know, we've got to continue on. It says, "Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." So if he's exhorting us not to let this happen, you know, it is very possible, you know, for us to lose out with the Lord. It says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." That's Hebrews 4 and 11. John 16:33. This message, you know, I'm talking about all the opposition Jesus is facing and different ones. It's not a message of gloom and doom, but it's a message that they just keep continuing on and going on, and they get the job done despite what is coming their way. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." And we can be overcomers too. He's got a reward for us, those that do overcome. And we have an adversary. There is a fight, and we have to continue in that fight, but we have the victory through Jesus. And Luke 13 and 10, this tells us a little story. It says, Jesus said to him, "He that is washed..." I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. I think I miswrote this down. Anyway, we know the story about the little lady that had the infirmity for 18 years. She was bowed over and couldn't no ways raise herself. And Jesus came to her and he touched her. And, you know, she was made whole. And then we can look at the one man that was sitting by the pool of Bethesda. I think he was there for 38 years. They never gave up hope. They kept pressing in, wanting to get a hold of the Lord. And eventually they did. And it just shows, you know, the patience will pay off if we just keep reaching to the Lord. Don't quit. If we don't get our needs met right away, keep pressing in. Keep trying and get a hold of God, and he will help us. In 2 Timothy 3 and 12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And this was mentioned this morning also, I believe, that things will get worse and worse as time goes on. But it says those that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. It's not a maybe, it's a definite thing. But it's just a part of what God's got for us that we will overcome with his help. And I was a young boy, coon hunting was the big thing to do on the weekend. And my dad, he took me out, and my brother and all my cousins, and we'd go out, and we'd spend all night out there listening to the dogs run the coons and tree them. And sometimes we'd get some, sometimes we wouldn't. But we was always having a good time out there. You know, boy, it's a venture in nighttime in the woods. And anyway, my grandpa, George, he gave me a little pup, and I named it after him, George. And that's a little boy for you. But anyway, that little dog is a red tick hound and had little red specks all over him. And I took him out a few times when he was starting to tree possums and things. You know, he started them out and something like that. And after they get good at that, they go on to coons, you know. My dad always kept a lot of coon dogs, and it's my job to water and feed them every day and take care of them. But always had a good time out there when we went hunting, and he traded a lot. Didn't have a lot of money, you know, above the bills and things, you know, that he liked to swap and trade dogs and things and try them out. But he'd always look at the dog. He'd take him by the ears and look him over and his nose and things, see if he had any scars on him and see if he had any cuts and, you know, bite marks. And, you know, if he'd been in a few fights, you know, he would probably got some experience, and he would probably be a good dog. If he didn't have any marks, he just followed you along on your heels when you got out in the woods. You know, he ain't worth keeping, worth feeding. But anyway, we had some good ones, some bad ones. But, you know, the same with the Christians. When we're in there working for the Lord, there's going to be a few scars come our way. And, you know, a few battles. We may not always win every battle, but God is with us. He will take us through. We will finish victorious, and we'll just stay true to Him. But I want to keep on going for Him all the way to the finish line. And I'll just turn it back to you, Pastor.